Okay, so we're going to start in just a second, and the recording is on. Yay! So we're recording this, and I'm super excited to be here. Melissa will be on in just a few minutes. She had a few challenges, but I am super excited to have a really dear friend of mine, Ernie Chu. I've known him, I think, Ernie, you and I have known each other for quite some time, and I've seen you helped me so much years ago, and I appreciate it. So this is Go Run for Fun Fitness. You know, so tell us about yourself and what you do, because you're a guru in a lot of different arenas, and fitness being one of them. So share with us.
Well, I got into fitness really maybe because as I was finding more and more interesting things to do, I had less and less time to kind of keep doing things for myself where I'd be doing things for other people. So I got very interested in fitness more as because that was something I was supposed to do. And little did I know that I was going to end up working with two of my dear friends who I've known for about 20 some odd years. And I didn't really know what they did, but I guess there was an opportunity in my life where I had quite a bit of time. And so they said, why don't you come and work with us? And I ended up helping to do new project development and things for one of the largest fitness and wellness companies that give classes all over South Florida, and learned quite a bit about what I already knew, which was fitness, but I didn't know too much about, you know, the underpinnings of it, and ended up probably spending a lot more time and knowing a lot more than I ever thought I ever would.
That's cute. Cool. I like that. And Melissa's on. Melissa, this is Ernie. Ernie, this is Melissa. She co-hosts the show with me.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So,
thanks for having
me
on.
I'm glad you're here. No, I'm super excited. Ernie, Melissa and I know she'll have questions as well, but you have always been an athlete. I know you were a tennis player, you swam, you run, you play ball, you've done it all, right? And you were an avid tennis player at one time, right? And so you've always stayed in that industry of taking care of your body, mind, body, spirit, because I know that you're a minister, and you've worked on this, you know, in stocks and all that. So, but why, and Melissa, this is a good question, because I know you and I wonder about this all the time. He has got a solution for people that say that they can't get to the gym. They put everything before the gym. And Ernie, that really struck home to me. Why are people like that? And you've got a solution for them. So tell us the challenge with that, if that's okay to ask. So, you know,
the first thing we have is we still, no matter what age we are, we still have a little bit of a kid in us, and most of us anyway had a time where we enjoyed playing games, we enjoyed new things that. If you had cool people or people that made things interesting, we had a good time, and then we gravitated toward those kinds of activities. We didn't really see it as work. You know, as we become adults and we grow up and start to age a bit, we realize that we have to do something, and when you have to do something, it doesn't always mean it's fun. It just means you have to do it. And one of those things is keeping ourselves in working condition, meaning just like a car, you make sure you give it plenty of exercise, but at the same time take care of it. And it becomes more of a chore. And a lot of us will do things that feel like chores, but not that willingly. And so the kinds of things that are really fun are really things of our childhood and sometimes with friends and things of that type. And it became very clear to me that, there's nobody that says exercise is bad for you or eating healthy and getting good night's sleep is bad for you. People have just said, yeah, of course it's good for you. And then nobody does it, or only 20% of the population really, according to the Health and Human Services, is really fit enough to really pass muster. Although, you know, one of the things that maybe you'll ask me a little bit is, you know, how valid are really the measurements that the government uses to determine fitness? Because what's been happening is over the last 20 years or so, only 1 in 5 people are, according to government statistics, which you can't always believe, but 1 in 5 people are really fit. And if you look at really the incidence of heart attacks and so forth, you kind of say, well, gee, why wouldn't people be doing all these things if they know it would make them live longer, they can enjoy it, there's no pain, et cetera. And that's a good question. And you know, a lot of the people in the fitness industry, you have to, there's really two ways you can divide it. One is just, you know, you just like exercise. You know, we don't call it an industry, but it is an industry. But it's exercise, and sometimes exercise feels good, especially if you are doing something that you enjoy doing, like riding a bike or playing tennis or just walking along the lake or whatever. But the other part of it is that there's the have-to part of it, and what's going on with that is really probably the same kinds of things that happen when, you know, you start New Year's Day or whatever with a lot of resolutions, and you force yourself to go to the gym, and by the time February comes around, you know, you're maybe going less than once a week, and then after that, maybe not at all. So I wondered about that, and I saw started doing some research, because we're interested in knowing about all of that, and we found that there are a couple of studies that were done, and you leave it up to the press to come up with the handle that there's a lazy gene part of your brain that says I'm taking the path of least resistance, but seriously, it's a part of your brain, and they did a number of studies on this. That it's an ancient part that basically says, you know, it's dangerous out there, and you need to conserve your energy. So if you're thinking of doing something that's going to take a lot of energy, we're telling you you should conserve your energy in case there's something life threatening going to come. Of course, you know, that was probably centuries old, and so what's happened is that probably the most stressful thing you might have is a high intensity workout. But basically, there's a part of your body that really doesn't know about smartphones. It's still part of your body that you inherited over the millions of years, and so it's looking at to make you learn how to manage your energy. And so that's that part of it is actually where you might remember that you come home and you say, I'm going to go out and run, or I'm going to go to the gym. And you could even have brought your gym stuff with you. But there's always something that allows you not to go. And, you know, and a lot of the people who are in the industry will say, well, you're lazy, you're this, you're that. But there is a actual biological urge to conserve energy, and we laugh at it, but that's the kind of thing that basically kept our species alive for the millions of years that we were here on this planet, and maybe in other forms of evolution.
Interesting.
I have a question about that. It's interesting. Go ahead, Melissa. I want you to, if you have something to say. But yeah, great. That's amazing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Melissa. What did you want to say? Sorry.
Oh, no, I just found it interesting that, you know, a gene, there's an actual gene that sets people apart from those that want to be lazy and those that that want to go out there.
I wish I'd have known that when I was a kid and living with my parents, Ernie, just so you know, that would have been better. So I can't clean the house. I got to conserve my energy. Anyway, could you imagine? That's interesting, though. So go ahead, because I am blown away by that. And you guys have found that out in your new industry that you're creating, you and your people. What are you going to say, Melissa? Because I'm just buddying. I apologize.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to like explain what I'm thinking, but I think in this world we live in now, I and myself also, I find myself having to, as much as I know I need to exercise, say, today, but work has overwhelmed me. So I immediately give up the exercise to make sure I work, to make the money, to pay the bills. You know, like, so I wonder if some of this is also just the world we live in, too, that people give up. They may not want to give up, but they give up they give into what they need to
do. They
got
to do to survive.
To survive.
That's a good question, Ernie. So she brought up a good point there. So she's saying you got to work to pay the bills. So sometimes you run out of time to exercise. So what's your thoughts on that? Is that the same kind of ancient DNA gene, whatever?
Well,
is that,
I think that there are a lot of different reasons.
Hello? Do we lose you?
Body's natural adaptation to conserve energy, especially when, as you think about it, your memories bring back some of the workouts and some of the runs that you've had and stuff like that. And you feel those, you really, your body doesn't really think, oh, I felt so great after that run. I was so exhausted, but I felt really good about it. I felt really alive and whatever. You know, it's like that run that you had on up Pikes Peak. You had trained so hard for that. And, you know, but if you kept using that and saying, well, just like, you did, you're going to break through, and just like you did with the Pikes Peak run, and you're thinking, boy, that doesn't sound like a lot of fun. It sounded like a great accomplishment, but it's one of these things that you don't do every day. But what about something that sounds fun? And so if there was a difference, if I had said, hey, let's go out and let's go to this Latin dance exercise. Let's go do Zumba, and then there's this really great instructor or whatever, a couple of really great guys and a lot of fun people. And all of a sudden, that's processed by the brain in a much different way, because that's processed by the part of our brain that it tells us when we're hungry. It tells us when we're thirsty. And it also has a hunger for basically socialization, just socializing, being connected. You got to feel like you're connected. And all of a sudden now, when you're doing something where you really enjoy it, like Zumba or even like the old like running groups and stuff, they don't do it quite as much as they did when they started doing it, and I'll explain why those kinds of things aren't as much fun anymore. And but at the same time, there are things that people do, bicycling and playing pickleball or things of that type. Those are all really fun things, and once we start to fix that in our mind, the mind comes up with a story like, well, yeah, it's a little bit of exercise, but I see all these people and I don't feel good. I don't have to expend that much. I'm going to be playing doubles in pickleball, or I won't be running that fast. So all of a sudden now you have reasons why that other part of the brain takes over and says, hey, we need to be connected. And that form of connection, by the way, is in the same part of the brain as hunger and as physical thirst. So there's a physical hunger really to be connected to people.
Wow.
And whether it's connected that you're always doing things with people, or if it's just feeling like you're connected either through the fact that you talk to your siblings or you talk to family, or they're just people that you have a good connection with at work. So it's a different thing, just like different amounts of food people eat, but all of it is going to a point where you're feeling like you're more complete, and it takes it out of the survival mode and more into the satisfying of social hunger.
Okay, so it's like having fun instead of surviving. I like
yep.
it. Yeah.
I have
so
a classmate.
I want to hear that.
Who I went to Amherst with, and actually we were pretty much in the same dorm, and I just saw him a few months ago. He wrote the first book on emotional intelligence. His name is Dr. Daniel
wow.
Goleman, and he wrote what is commonly called EQ. Well, he just had a new book that came out, I guess it's not so new now, but it's about 6 to 8 months ago, and it's called Social Intelligence. And in that book, he really talks about the need to and the hunger to be connected, that we are really, in a sense, he describes it as we are hardwired to be connected. We're hardwired to be social. So when you're looking at things that you can do and enjoy things, it's a spiritual thing as well, where you're just enjoying and laughing or finding some satisfaction or just feeling connected. It's something that's not only good for your body, but also good for those connections of your soul. So they really have started to look at the things that we really enjoy and things that are good for us, and finding some fairly good answers about, hey, if it's so good for us, then why are we resisting?
Yeah,
technology.
Because I think fun is being, I agree with that, but fun, if we're having fun and working, it's not as, people feel it's not as productive as being working hard and strong and just trying to make it. That's a good point, I think, right, Ernie? So, you know, you can't have fun if you're working out. You know, you got to be sweating and sore the next
day. Well, there's
day
a,
and all
there's
that.
A
so
belief. And I do have some things that may sound surprising from somebody who's, you know, involved in the development of new products and things for fitness and wellness. And that is, first, you have to understand that there's a difference between what some people who are real, shall we say, they're very serious about going to do their exercising and taking care of themselves and stuff, and that is great. But most people aren't like that because the life gets busy and a lot of things, you have priorities. And probably today, with cell phones and everything else, we get more information in probably an hour than we would have in other it's gone by where they didn't have that. We get more information. Life happens sort of at the fastest click of either basically emails or texts. So essentially, we think that people who are going to a gym and stuff, there was a survey done. It was actually done by Planet Fitness. And they basically came up with several things that I thought might be kind of fun to know about. One is that about 69% of the people said, yeah, I'm interested in joining something like Planet Fitness, but first I got to get into shape before I join. So in other words, I'm not going to join until I get shape, you know?
It's like cleaning up the house
for
the housekeeper.
That. You know, I used to think that I was the only person that cleaned up the day before and then a few hours before my housekeeper came.
Yeah.
You know, I also discovered that people would drive around in front of when I went to the gym. It was in a shopping center, and sometimes parking was you'd have to park quite a ways away. And I used to see people driving around in circles looking for the closest parking space. And here they are. They're going into the gym for a workout.
Do you think it's partially like self-esteem, though, too? I mean, it took me forever to join a local town gym.
Yeah, that's a
you
very
know?
Good point.
Because then there's very overweight people who know that they want to do something good for their body. But then it's how can I stand next to the guy pumping iron in Gold's Gym? And that keeps him at home and continuing the bad choices and not getting healthy.
Well, this actually is something that I asked that question. And what I really discovered, and I discovered it but without having to go very far, because the head of the founder of Body Wellness is a former Olympic class athlete, runner, basically you can imagine being quite fit and certified and the whole nine yards. And what I realized was that you have to separate the sense of getting in shape or getting exercise or whatever and getting fit. But getting fit really, really talks about you know, we kind of justify it by saying, well, that's good for us, and we're going to live longer, do whatever it is. Well, have to if we use that to a lot of other activities we do, we could see that, you know, that's not always the case. But in cases like that, essentially, you have to be able to do things that are fun, and fun things are not being judged. You know, you're not doing. You know, you don't go out to play tennis and you're afraid that people will judge you that you don't know what you're doing, or maybe you do, because in a lot of these tennis clubs, they do have those kind, that becomes a natural attitude. And, you know, your whole thing about a sense of not being good enough is a great point, because when you go to, a lot of people won't go to even a fitness club because they're afraid of being judged. And the other thing, part of this survey that Planet Fitness took about working out and judgment and stuff, and they said, well, about almost 70% of the people who go there to work out, they'd rather be working out somewhere away from the highway trafficked areas, right in the back where there's nobody to judge you.
That's a good point. I like that. Yeah, that is a good point. I know that you are working with the team of people on a solution for that, correct? And I don't know if you want to talk any about it or a little bit, but I know it's a passion of yours. So can you touch on it a little bit? Have you guys working on a solution?
Sure. Yeah, we can.
Okay.
I mean, it's no accident that probably within about 3 years or less, about two thirds of the working population are going to be they never knew a time that there was. So you're looking at a very up and coming population that, you know, when using 18 and up, about that is almost 66 two-thirds of the working force. There might be people and baby boomers who are still working, but most of those people are gradually getting retired and doing other things. But those are the people. The baby boomers sort of have their own way of doing things because they maybe want to stay healthy so that they can see their grandchildren or enjoy life or not have pain. But two-thirds of the people who are you know, we call them millennials or you'll have Generation Z. These people tend to we can only remember when we were kids that we didn't really think about age. We thought about whether we had a good time, what some of the things were being done, and some newness, how cool things were. And so you're going to start to see a lot of that happening, and you're already seeing that because a lot of the specialty gyms, including Orange Theory, were really supported in large amounts by millennials. You saw Pure Bar, you had Barry's Boot Camp. I'm thinking about quite a number of other types of things where you had the kinds of small, I guess, boutique workout places, and they were expensive too. You know, in New York, the average cost of a spin class is somewhere anywhere from about $40 some odd dollars down to maybe $25, something like that. You know, and that's where a lot of the, you know, SoulCycle came from there, and Peloton's came out of Equinox, the health group. So there's some really great stuff going on in New York. But what tends to happen is when you get into an industry, it becomes an establishment of some kind. And so what ends up happening is that instead of just being a new field that people can go and have fun and do things, it becomes stratified. You know, you had certain types of people who are now doing personal training, that are now doing CrossFit, or they're doing various different things. And so it becomes really not only a sense of ranking physically and who's fastest, who can go the longest, but more psychologically and sociologically as well. And that's what eventually takes something that's very popular and begins to put some rings around it that, you know, make it so that it might be not the easiest thing in the world to grow, or that you have to find some other alternatives. And people have, you know, they do they used to do line dancing, they do Zumba. There are lots of aquatic kinds of things that are fun. And of course there are a lot of other exercises, such as even weekend tennis and things like that. It doesn't matter how good you are. You know, there are 40 million people that play that in one form or another. So it's there's plenty around, and life is full of examples of when you have fun, you begin to start to do things that actually will serve you, will be good for you. I know we often talk about engaging in activities that aren't good for you, but I think these are things that we naturally gravitate to, and as kids and as adults, and
I have
other
a
things,
question
it,
for you.
When we,
go, really quickly, so you're saying, I say, here's my question, because we're going to run out of time, and I want to have you back on. So you're in the process of creating something where people can have fun, however that is. I don't know if it's online, offline, or if you can call it that, and different age groups, and pick the age group that they want to be in, if I'm remembering that or hearing that. And that's in the process of you guys are working on that. And so they can take Zumba class and have fun with it, and not be judged, you know, not being the best Zumba, whatever you call it.
What we're planning on doing is really having a large scale fitness social portal online, and it's both more complicated and also very simple sometimes. but it's really, really an idea whose time has come. There's a need that people have to do it. And so you see that there are exercises, and I use Zumba as an example because it's a heck of a lot of fun. People have a lot of, particularly people who like to dance and move around, and it becomes contagious that they have that and they're having fun. But I think that that's also a way to. A lot of people are so busy that they just can't get away, or they, you know, by the time you shower and change and in and out, it's not just 40 minutes. It's 10 minutes of cool down, and then you maybe have half an hour of your quick to get in and out and to get where you're going. And, you know, you usually have to budget that. But if you could start your day, or if you could do have the flexibility of being able to do it at home or do it somewhere on with your basically the phone even, where you could either use a projector or something. We think that the way things will go eventually is that right now it's more we're doing the two-way video, interactive video, so that they can actually see you and you can see the instructor. So, and you can even have a little place where you'll be able to, if you have a couple of friends, you can see them via their computer and be able to see how they're enjoying what's being done. And you can even talk a little bit, but not, you don't really do that in a fitness class. But this is a case also where you'll have time to have a chance to see who else is doing it and who else is in the class or who else is and so there'll be also a discovery and kind of a social page that people will have. And again, it's something that people who are into fitness tend to enjoy talking about it, especially other people who have similar experiences. So that the social part of this is so important.
I like that. On that note, because we're going to have... Oh, go ahead.
That's kind of like what was in my mind when Tari and I started talking. I'm like, wouldn't it be neat to kind of know that somebody else at the same time is running and building that social network, whether it be United States or Africa or Europe, and knowing we're all kind of doing the same thing for the same reason, and it's like a camaraderie.
Yes, yes.
Feel.
And roughly, you know, within a decade or so of the same age too, and a lot, perhaps even some of the same interests.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's
yeah.
Neat.
Just on that, I know I'm excited about that, Ernie, and we're going to have you on again. But on that note, I want to share this with you. And I've never seen this before, that there's an Autism 5K coming up in August, and they're doing a Zumba full warm-up. Just like, how cool is that?
Yes.
Anyway, I wanted to share it. Isn't that neat? So anyway, you guys, Ernie, it's been wonderful having you on, and I would like to have you on again. I know Melissa would, and I apologize for interrupting you guys, but we had to keep an eye on the time. Hit us up on Go Run for Fun Fitness. And Ernie, I didn't ask you this, but if somebody wants to know more about what you're doing, do you want to give them something, or they can hit us up on Go Run for Fun Fitness?
Well, you can go to Body
on our Instagram.
You can go to bodywellness.com, and we have a website that will give you a sense of how we're looking to have fun too. So our website's about fun and people exercising and having fun.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I love it.
Yeah,
that's great.
Check it out. I know. We want to have you back. So I've said that now five times, but Go Run. Yeah, you're amazing. Go Run for Fun Fitness. Hit us up with your pictures or whatever. And you guys, I will talk to you later. Ernie, have a great day. And thank you for taking the time to talk to us. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Okay. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
All right. So do you want to close the call?
Take care, guys.
Melissa always does this. Melissa, you got to tell them to go run.
Yeah, go run. Get out there. Go run.
And take a shower and eat your vegetables. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.